Turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 9, to say it in the Hebrew, or for those of you from Alabama, Isaiah. And let's look at Isaiah chapter 9. We've heard a couple of the verses from this passage as a part of the Advent candle, and it's an important passage, as you will see, I think, this morning. Isaiah chapter 9, I'm going to read verses 2 through 7 to set the whole context, though the focus of the message today is on verses 6 and 7. Invite you to follow along as I read. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nation. You shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence as with the gladness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you shall break the yoke of their burden and the staff of their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, as at the battle of Midian. For every boot of the booted warrior in the battle tumult and cloak rolled in blood will be for burning, fuel for the fire. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and ever over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. May I remind us that's God's word, and it has a message for us at this Advent season. I have to admit, I really enjoy this season of the year, don't you? Just a season of thanksgiving and entering into a celebration of remembering all the good things that God has done. What a great opportunity to have your family gathered around, perhaps, and you can share things from your heart that the Lord has blessed you with over the year. But you know, there are a lot of people that come through this and will say, well, who are you thankful to? Who is this one that you talk about that came at Advent? You'd be surprised, now don't point your finger, but honestly, you would be surprised at the number of people who are in churches on these holiday seasons that don't have the foggiest of an idea of who Jesus Christ is. It would shock you, because sitting even in the midst of churches, there's some in pulpits that are so-called preachers who don't really know the person of this season. They don't really know who Jesus Christ is. Or they may know a few facts. Some may even be able to quote some verses, but they really don't understand the answer to the question, what child is this who laid to rest? Oh, those of us who know the Bible stories, those of us who have been through Bible churches and have been through Bible studies, we get excited because it's a time of remembering Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God's own Son whom God sent to die in our place. But there are many who do not fully understand who He is. They don't understand why He came. There are some that worship the babe in the manger or worship a Christ on the cross, but who have no idea about the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ who's coming again. What child is this who laid to rest? Well, Advent is a time to remember. Advent is a time to remember not only what He did for us, but who it is that did it. And something of the character qualities, something of who it is that came as that special delivery package
on that Christmas morning. We know that He came, first of all, to make God known. John 1:14 reminds us that the gift was given to make God known to mankind, so that man might know God, might understand the grace of God. His grace full of truth. His grace so full of all of His love and compassion and grace and loving kindness, all in one. The book of Jeremiah tells us that He came not only to make God known, but He came to take care of our need. Jeremiah 10, verse 23. I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in the man who walks to direct his steps, but rather God has sent the Lord to meet our need, to make God known. But Jesus Himself said during His lifetime, I have come that they might have life. I've come to give the abundant life that only God can give. He came to make God known. He came to take care of our need. He came to give life. So Advent is a time of celebrating His coming. It's a time to appreciate and to give thanks for God's gift, to show our gratitude for that gift of life. Not just a baby in a manger, not just a Savior who died on a cross, but the whole process of making God known, of meeting man's need, of doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Now I realize there are some of you sitting here who can say, I know that. We've heard this before. But how does it affect us? God's Word was given so that our lives might be transformed by the renewing of our minds, so that we may be living examples, living trophies of who God is. So Advent is a time to appreciate God's gift, but it's also a time to anticipate the rest of His gift. Yes, He came. Yes, He died. Yes, He was raised again. But there's more to it. There's more to celebrate, to express our gratitude not only for what He has done, not only for what He is doing, but for the rest of what He's going to do. Sometimes we get so caught up with the finished work of Christ that we forget the unfinished work of Christ. There's a magazine published in England called the Wolf Magazine of Letters. Tells about a lady who got so excited at Christmas about sending cards to all of her friends. She purchased 50 Christmas cards because of the picture on the front, but didn't read the message inside. She signed and addressed all but one of them. So 49 cards went out in the mail. Imagine her shock when several days after Christmas, she picked up the one that she had not written to anyone on, had not sent it out to anyone. And she read the card on the inside, and it said, "This little card is just to say, a special gift for you is on the way." It was a little bit of a surprise to her that she had sent all of her friends a note that there's more coming. And she wasn't prepared. Well, Advent is not only a time of appreciation, it's a time of anticipation. To anticipate the rest of God's gift. Did you catch in the passage that was read both before the Advent candle and in the scripture reading that shows that God not only said there's going to be a child given to us, but that there's more to come? If you take a look at it in Isaiah 9 and verse 6, it says, a child will be born to us. It says, a son will be given to us. And it says, the government will rest on His shoulders. You see, the first two deal with that first coming of Christ. That third one deals with something yet to come.
when the government will be upon his shoulders.
The first advent is in the first part of that verse. A child will be born to us, a son given to us. The rest of it comes in the rest of the verse that says, the government will rest upon his shoulders. So we have two separate things. Christ came in his perfect humanity. And he's going to come again and establish his rule and reign. And we learn about that when we look at his name. And his name will be called. Did you catch the names? Think about his name and how it fits into the story. He's called Wonderful Counselor. Unfortunately, to get it to fit the music, Handel had to say, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. But it's not Wonderful Counselor. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor. His name will be called Mighty God. His name will be called Eternal Father. His name will be called Prince of Peace. Four names with four descriptive terms describing something about that name. All of those wonderful names that describe that first coming. A name, remember, in the Scripture is something that tells of the major character trait, a special achievement or something concerning the individual. We often think of the names Emmanuel, which means God with us. Or we think of the name Jesus, which means He will save His people from their sins. But Isaiah, as he describes the two advents in that passage in Isaiah 9, wants us to see Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And again, don't just think of it as a theological study where we get all of these wonderful words put together. Think of the impact that's to have on our day-to-day lives. To transform us by the renewing of our minds so that we may show His purpose, His plan in our life. Think about the word wonderful. Wonderful Counselor. What does it really mean? How does that affect me? The word wonderful in the original language means to distinguish something as unique, as one of a kind. Wonderful is something that's beyond capabilities. I remember when my mom first got a remote control for her television set. She didn't want to have a thing to do with it at first. But when she saw that when Dad wanted to see something different, that she could go to the little controller sitting right next to her chair and change the channel for him so he could see exactly what he wanted to see. Neither one of them had to get up. I remember the words that came out of her mouth, so interesting. She said, "This is wonderful." It was like beyond capabilities. All these years we've had to get up and go up and change the thing. Now we can push a button. Wonderful. But think of this in terms of talking about a person, distinguishing something as unique, wonderful, something that is beyond man's capabilities. He is Wonderful Counselor. In the Scripture, the word is always used of something that shows a clear impression of God's care, of God's love, of God's grace. Wonderful. But you see, you can't just take the word by itself, because this uniqueness, this thing that's beyond man's capabilities, is wrapped up in that second word that means counselor. What do you think of when you think of a counselor? Some may think of a lawyer, Others may think of that person down in the dean's office that helps plan your schedule or something at school or is able to give you some counseling when you're faced with some difficulties. A counselor is one who always has a carefully thought through plan, a very clear, precise strategy for carrying out the plan. Aren't you glad for good counselors? You know, around tax season especially, when that comes around and there are new tax laws or things to look at, we need somebody with a carefully thought through plan who has a precise strategy for filling out a 1040 accurately and getting it done so we don't wind up behind bars. But seriously, a counselor has that thought through plan. It's really interesting to see how that speaks to us through the words that are translated counselor. One of the words, tahula in the Hebrew, means to give direction, to steer a ship. I don't know how many of you have ever been on a boat ride with an experienced person who knows how to maneuver the boat through narrow waters or through a special channel to go to shore. You need someone that knows how to steer that ship. My dad was really good at doing that and going fishing on the Kentucky Lake. And I didn't really appreciate it until I graduated from college and then took a group of students fishing on the Kentucky Lake on those waters that I've been on so many times and pretty much knew where the channels went. But the first day, I sheared 3 pins because I hit stumps. I didn't know the channel that well. I talked to my dad, and dad said, well, you know, you've got to remember, and you can look over at the trees over on the other side, and you can set a course, and you know that when you get to a certain place, you need to turn to the right a little, because there's an old stump row through there. And over here, there's some rocks. Over here, there's some brush and bramble. I don't think I ever saw my dad shear a pin. He always had plenty of shear pins in there. That was so that if the motor propeller hit something, it would break the little shear pin and not break the prop. And you had to have the right direction. Is God able to give good counsel? Does God know where all the rough places are in your life? Is he a good counselor? The second word that's used is the word ya'atz, which means guidance or consultation. Not necessarily giving the whole purpose and plan, but able to consult and give some direction and guidance of what to think about, of what you need to consider. Often as we are making decisions and study God's Word, we will find great help and guidance in helping to make decisions. Because he's a counselor. The third word is all the other places in the Bible where the word is translated counselor. It's the word etza. It means to give advice, to correct, and to reprove. It brings in that aspect of counseling. It's a part of what the Scriptures were inspired to do. All Scripture is inspired and is profitable for teaching, for training, for reproof, for correction, and for equipping. All of the words that 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16 describe, wrapped up in that little word, counselor. You see, God is mighty counselor. And when you go back into the Scripture, you will discover that the first time the word is ever used in the Bible is in Exodus, where God says, now listen to me, I shall give you counsel, and God be with you. You be the people's representative before God, and you bring the disputes to God, then teach them the statutes and the laws. The words were given to Moses for the organizational plan of how to carry out the responsibilities. And it came from the counsel and direction of God. Furthermore, it says you shall select out of all the people able men who fear God, place these as leaders of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens, and let them judge the people. It was a part of Jethro giving the message from God to Moses for the preparation of accomplishing the purpose. It was the counseling that he needed, the direction that he needed. Jesus is our wonderful counselor. It's the first name that's given by Isaiah. He's eminently qualified. How do you know that Jesus is a good counselor? In life, when you're going to get counsel on some issue, who do you go to? What kind of person do you look for to qualify as a counselor that will lead you in the right direction? I've known of counselors who have given bad counsel to individuals, and it has caused disaster to occur in their lives. But Jesus is a wonderful counselor because, first of all, He is God. He is the one who is qualified. He's eternal. He's immutable. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's eminently qualified to be our counselor. And He knows us, according to John chapter 2. Jesus, on His part, was not entrusting Himself to them, for He knows all men. And because He did not need anyone to bear witness concerning man, for He Himself knows what is in man. He knows us. He's God. He's qualified to serve as that wonderful counselor. But the other beautiful thing is to realize that He's also man. He's also man. Hebrews chapter 2 reminds us He had to be made like His brethren in all things, that He might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For since He Himself was tempted in that which He has suffered, He's able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. He understands. He understands the pressures. He understands the stresses. He's qualified to provide counsel. He's God. He knows us. And He's man. But you know, there's another reason. There's another qualification, and that is, He loves us. No wonder it says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's not only the eternal separation from sin that's dealt with. It's not only that eternal salvation that He has provided, but He loved us and sent that Son to be our wonderful counselor, to provide the direction and the instruction that we need. You know, when I look at that and think back over the things that we've just said, it makes me ask the question, okay, He's a great counselor. He's a wonderful counselor. He's qualified. He knows all of this. But how does He counsel? When I've needed some guidance or direction on some issue, I know certain people in the church that I can call upon, and they will tell me of a counselor, the right kind of person I need to go to. You know, when my lawnmower doesn't work, you talk to the R-Force. They can give you tremendous insight and direct you to the right counselor, the right kind of person. There are people here that have gone through the experience of taxes and wills and all of that sort of thing, and they can recommend a good counselor, one who's qualified. And you can go look up the shingle and go find that individual and get the counseling. But how do you get counsel from the wonderful counselor? Let me suggest to you that He counsels us, first of all, through His Word. He counsels us as we study His Word. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, "Thy testimonies also are my delight. They are my counselors. Thy commandments make me wiser than my enemies. They are ever mine. I understand more than the aged because I have observed Thy precepts." Wow. He counsels us through His Word. through those who have experienced things just like you and I face. And His Word provides that counsel. But secondly, He counsels us by His Holy Spirit. It tells us in the book of Acts, they passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. The Spirit of God was directing Paul to just the right place. He counsels us through the means of His Spirit. He counsels us through His Word. He counsels us by means of the Holy Spirit who indwells every believer. He also counsels through other believers. Proverbs 28, verse 9. Those counselors that we can talk with, those who have experienced the situations that are going through, they can provide us with counsel that comes from God through them. And He counsels us through circumstances. He says in Psalm 32, verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. And 1 Peter repeats that quote to show us that He can instruct us through circumstances. No wonder He's called Wonderful Counselor. And it's all provided for us and can have an impact. It's not just that we need to know that He's Wonderful Counselor. We are experienced at coming to His Word and finding how He counsels through those difficult waters. When He counsels, He encourages us. He comes alongside. Let not your heart be troubled, Jesus says. Believe in God, believe also in me, in John chapter 14. He strengthens and supports us, repeatedly used in the Scriptures, especially as the abiding in the vine, and we are provided with that strength and encouragement that only He can provide. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Paul reminds us. But He prays for us as well. He not only encourages and strengthens us, He prays for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And He intercedes for us. John 16 reminds us that He is patient with us. Do you ever think about the people who really are great encouragers in your life? I've discovered through the years that impatient people don't make good encouragers. But patient people do. And the Lord is patient with us. Aren't you glad of that? I can guarantee you that every person in this room has a lesson that God would like for you to learn. How many two-by-fours is it going to take? I know that's true in my own life. There are areas that God can still speak and guide me. I'm so glad He's patient. He's a wonderful counselor. He knows us. He understands us. He knows how to deal with us. He prays for us. And Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 and following reminds us that He enables us to comprehend and understand all truth. I remember a student that I had that was having great difficulty in school, and the principal came to me and said the parents were very concerned. Would I be willing to, quote unquote, counsel him? That he needed some help with his study habits and other things. I said, I'd be glad to. The mother came in and the father came in and they said, boy, I just don't know what's going on. I had just become a believer not too long before that. And had had a great time talking with the pastor who mentored me in those days about encouraging and being patient and understanding. The fella came into my little place that they had set aside for a conference, had his chemistry book with him. We began to talk, began to just go over some very important issues. And all of a sudden, about the third meeting, he said, you know, I think I'm beginning to understand. And then he said, You're the first person that's taken time to explain to me. I found out that his mom and dad had reached the end of their rope. They had become so impatient. You've got to do better. You've got to do better. Buckle up. All this stuff. But he said, I came to understand and comprehend the truth through your patience. Boy, how many times that has hit me when I've seen how patient God has been with me. And down through the years, as He's shown me things, and then I begin to understand why He said what He said in the Scripture, why He said what He said about how we are to live our lives. He's patient with us. He prays for us. He enables us to understand. Some very valuable lingering lessons that come from this whole study of thinking about Wonderful Counselor. We should seek His counsel. Remember those beautiful words in Psalm 55, verse 22? Cast your burden on the Lord and He will sustain you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Wow. What a beautiful, beautiful picture we need to seek is. After all, He's a Wonderful Counselor. Think back to what all of that means. And it's for a practical working in our day-to-day lives. Secondly, follow His counsel. You know, when those great words in Matthew chapter 11, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Just take my yoke upon you. Just follow my counsel. Proverbs 19, verse 20, His counsel stands forever, and a wise man will listen to His counsel. And the word listen means to hear it with the ears and let it affect your feet. Follow His counsel. Seek His counsel. He's a Wonderful Counselor. He's the only one qualified. Follow His counsel. It's been given for our benefit, for our equipping, for our good. And lastly, rejoice in His counsel. Celebrate. Praise Him. Give thanks to Him for the direction that He provides so beautifully through His Word. His name? Who is He really? His name will be called? Who is He? Wonderful Counselor. There are three more names, but that will come on three more Sundays. You can give thanks that we are done before noon. Seriously, seek and follow the Wonderful Counselor. Yes, He's mighty God, His eternal Father, and He's Prince of Peace. And He left His throne in heaven. He came to us here on this earth. And who is He? Wonderful Counselor. Father, we thank You for Your Word and for its power to do more than we could ever imagine. We pray that we may be caught up in understanding who really came at this Christmas season. Not just the baby Jesus, not just a Savior to die on a cross, but so much more. He came as Wonderful Counselor to prepare us, to equip us, to correct and reprove us, to train us. Thank You for Your love and for Your patience, for Your grace, Your peace, and the hope that You provide as Wonderful Counselor. But we love You and we praise You and we thank You as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.